now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How you feeling out there this week? Yeah, everything is cool with me. How did your 4th of July go? Got all your fingers? Everything good? No accidents? Everybody stayed safe? You didn't end up like, what's my guy? I think it's Terry on the memes. Those videos, I know y'all saw the videos. Y'all see it. We watch it every year. We always laugh at old Terry. What's my man? He's in the wheelchair, in the motorized wheelchair. And his boy is telling him to back up. Back up, Terry! Back up! Put it in reverse, Terry! Yeah, you didn't end up like old Terry, did you? I hope not. Well, this week on the Commissioner's Conversation, we will talk about the Olympics. There's been a lot of stuff to discuss in times of the Olympics, so we'll go through just a little bit of it, and we'll talk about the Olympics, the Olympic Games, some suspensions. We'll also talk about whether the Olympics are going to be in a bubble. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll go through those and how the finals have shaped up and what I expect to see in those NBA finals.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, what up? It's cookout season, man. And guess what? When you step out, going to your favorite party, going to your favorite event, when your friend calls you over and say, yo, I'm about to put some meat on the grill, you say, cool, I know exactly what to bring. I will bring some Greenwood whiskey. And when you get there and you show up with a bottle of Greenwood whiskey, don't be surprised if there are some people who don't know about Greenwood. Well, all you got to do is make it your duty to pour up a glass for them and allow them to experience the Greenwood whiskey's smoothness for themselves. After they have a glass, they will already be hooked. Then you direct them to the Greenwood Whiskey's Instagram and website, www.greenwoodwhiskey.com and at Greenwood Whiskey. And they will find whatever location is nearest them so they can now go out and pick up a bottle of Greenwood Whiskey, because I know they will be a fan. So this cookout season, show up with Greenwood Whiskey in your hand and celebrate. Greenwood Whiskey, it's celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot going on with the Olympics. In case you don't know, the Olympics is like 2 weeks away. And it's been a lot going on. We'll get into Sha'Carri Richardson getting suspended. We'll get into this whole soul cap issue and what's been going on with there. The Olympics encouraging or saying they'll take medals away from people who plan on protesting openly in those Olympic Games. And with all of that going on, it's been a lot of American, I won't say worldwide, but it's been a bunch of American entertainers who's kind of called for black people to boycott the Olympics, because you see all this stuff going on and you say, well, they clearly don't want us there, so why go? And I don't have any issue with it. Like, if you feel like your voice could be heard by boycotting the Olympics, that's cool. Go for it. I'm all supportive of it. But I would like to encourage a lot of these athletes, a lot of these entertainers, to understand the plight of the individual. Because some of these individuals have worked their entire lives. Their entire young life has been dedicated to going to the Olympics. Because the Olympics and winning an Olympic medal, that's the pinnacle for many of these athletes. Now, you got basketball, you have maybe even track, some of these, and tennis, some of these things. The Olympics is not the end-all, be-all. It's not what you take your pride in. In the NBA, if you play NBA basketball, you take your pride in winning the finals and winning the MVPs and stuff like that. You get your notice and your notoriety and your reputation based off of those things. In tennis, it might be Wimbledon. And, you know, in some of these other, in track and field, it may be, you know, soccer is the World Cup, some of these other games. But for many of these athletes that may participate in, like, gymnastics, that may participate in swimming, that may participate in fencing or what some of these, many of these athletes, this is what they've been training for. They didn't grow up saying, I want to be a professional this, because there may not be a worldwide professional demand for that athlete, for that sport. So their mindset was, I'm going to grow up and participate in the Olympics, because once you get that gold around your neck, or once you get that silver or bronze around your neck, you are instantly legendary where you're from. You're instantly legendary in your sport, and you're forced to deal with. And you have to talk about you throughout the history of whatever sport that may be. So far be it from me to sit here and tell you that the Olympics do not want black people, and that you should sit out the Olympics, because I don't know what your goal is. No one else knows what your goal is. And so no one else should be able to dictate and tell you what they would do. I mean, a lot of these hip-hop artists, a lot of these actors and actresses, would they be willing to sit out the Grammys if they knew they were up for Grammys? They knew they were going to win or possibly win a Grammy. Would they sit it out? Would they sit out the Oscars if they knew they were nominated in 5 categories for Oscars? Would they be willing to sit out? Because the Oscars, Grammys, a lot of these places have shown that they don't support people of color as well, and they don't always get boycotted. So it's easy for someone to tell you what to do, but it's not so easy for them to step inside your shoes and do what they're instructing you to do. Because it's always easy when you're on the outside. It's always, why don't you just not go? Why don't you shut the hell up? You know what I'm saying? And let us do what we're going to do and how we're going to protest it. Or how we're going to make our statement be heard. Because for many of these athletes, showing up, dominating, and winning year after year after year is a way of protesting, to say that you cannot beat me. The way that I'll protest, or the way that I will make my mark, is by dominating every damn time I show up. So when you talk about the history of whatever sport it may be, you have to mention my name. And when you mention my name, you have to show me on a video. And when you show me on video, you'll see my blackness. And you'll see my blackness defeating all the other people, all the other countries. If there's no black representation in Italy or Britain or whatever, and here I am doing what I do and defeating them, and they think that they're a superior country, or they think they've been doing it longer than the United States, and here I am kicking their ass, proof is in the pudding. So far be it from me to tell you how to boycott. Now, if you choose to boycott, that's on you, and congratulations. But I always ask the question of, what is the purpose of boycotting? Because let's just say, hypothetically, all African Americans boycotted the Olympics. We all sat out and decided we weren't going to go, and we weren't going to participate, because we felt like the Olympics has decided to exclude black people. Does that stop black people from being in the Olympics? No. Because there's a lot of countries that are going to participate. There's a lot of countries that are going to be out there. So a lot of these African countries, they're not going to stop sending their people. You think Jamaica, who's set up to win everything damn near in track, is going to say, oh, because the United States is not sending black people, we'll not show up to? No. You see what I'm saying? So what would be the goal in that? Because it would have to be a worldwide message that no black people show up. And that's not going to happen. Not worldwide. And so even if we bring it back here locally, and we say the United States track team and the United States swim team and all of these other federations, we all get together and they all decide that no black Americans show up. What is the goal in that? Do we think that the United States is shamed so much that they'll come and defend their black athletes? Is that what we expect to happen? Do you honestly expect the United States to be shamed into the fact that, oh, there's no black people on any of the Olympic rosters and they look stupid? And go back and say, oh, well, our black athletes didn't participate because of the list of you did this. And they go through the, we demand that this happened and that happened and that happened. And if you want the United States to participate, then you'll look after the black athlete. I ask you, when have you ever known the United States of America in anything to protect a black athlete? Especially in the Olympics, like, we had a whole world war going on. And Jesse Owens was out kicking ass in front of Adolf Hitler. And while Americans were proud that Jesse Owens was out there kicking ass in front of Adolf Hitler, they weren't really protecting him. They didn't do anything to make sure that he wasn't harmed. They didn't look after his welfare. In fact, they didn't look after his family that was back here in the United States to make sure that they were okay and not being called niggas every time they turned the corner, even though their father, husband, whatever, was out there kicking ass. So the country doesn't have a track record of being behind you, and you are expecting them now to turn around and be behind you in solidarity 100% when they're not behind you in your own sports. Here on your own soil, they don't back you at all at home. And now you want them to go across the seas to Tokyo, Japan, and start making demands for you? Yeah, good luck with that. So I'm here to tell a lot of the Olympic athletes that if you plan on boycotting, that's cool, that's your thing. I support you. I salute you. I respect you to the utmost for standing up for whatever it is that you believe in and why you would be boycotting, because I am not here and I'm not in position to tell you what you should do with your voice. But if you choose to go, if you opt to go and you opt to participate in your sport, I encourage you to be the best that you can be and put your best foot forward and do not hang your head at all with whatever outcome that you receive, as long as you put your best together. So don't come back here and think that you'll be shamed because you went and you participated in the Olympics. You won't. We'll still be proud of you. We'll still hold you up high and we'll still honor you, because a certain group of entertainers, a certain group of athletes that are calling for the boycott, they do not speak for the masses.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, so I told you earlier, I talked about the Olympics possibly taking place in a bubble. And the only reason why I said that is because COVID numbers are drastically spiking in Tokyo, Japan. The numbers have hit a 2-month high, and Japan is probably looking at a new state of emergency that would come up, and it would start probably next week and go throughout and even past the Olympic Games. The Olympics began, like I said, in a couple weeks. It's July 23rd. And if Tokyo or if Japan is declared a state of emergency, then it could lead to no local fans in attendance. Now, fans from abroad, you know, were banned a few months back. You know, they are just rules, regulations, and taking all precautions. They decided to not allow fans from abroad come in and take part in the Olympics in terms of viewership. And so now they're looking at not allowing any local fans take place and sit down and watch either. But the IOC had basically hoped to fill these seats to at least 50% capacity, or not exceeding 10,000 fans. The reason why this is important is because the Olympics needs this money. I mean, we see this in NCAA. We saw it. I talked about it with NCAA. I talked about it with NBA. I talked about it with NFL. These entities need the money. Yes, you look at them and you see them as successful businesses. You see them as high-powered, big business corporations. But these big business corporations are not always financially responsible and often find themselves, if you miss a little bit of work, you missed a lot of money. So the Olympics need this money, and basically 75% of the Olympics income comes from selling broadcast rights. So it's not coming from the attendance. That's why they can easily make that decision to say, okay, it's cool, we're not going to have fans in the building. So, but they are not going to just cancel the Olympics. If you'll remember, this is not supposed to be the Olympic year. Last year was supposed to be the Olympic year. But because they need this money, they're not going to cancel. They estimated they would lose probably around $3 to $4 billion if the Olympics are canceled. That's why the Olympics was pushed back from 2020 to 2021. They're not going to miss $3 to $4 billion in ad sales in for the Olympics. But like I said, going back, COVID cases are soaring. It's probably going to be declared a state of emergency. Tokyo has basically reported 920 new cases as of Wednesday, which is up from 714 last Wednesday. It's being reported that 15% of Japan is vaccinated, while here, to compare it, 47.4% of people in the United States have been vaccinated, and around 50% of people in Britain have been vaccinated. So the numbers of vaccinated citizens are extremely low in Japan. But as I said, they're not going to miss this money. You can bet your sweet ass they are not going to go out here and say, well, you know, everything's going crazy in our country, we'll just hold off. We'll just, you know, see y'all in four. Nah. We got to go get this bread. So we're going to bubble up. We're going to keep fans away. And we're going to run. And we're going to jump. And we're going to dive and swim and do all that it takes so that we can get these $3-4 billion.
Commissioner Gordon.
Quick update on USA basketball. Jason Tatum will be wearing Kobe's number 10. It's an honor for him. He said they talked about it. It's an honor for him. I think for whatever reason, he wanted to wear 10 in Boston. I can't speak on the number significance in his particular life, but he wanted to wear 10 in Boston. But Boston number 10 has been retired, so Jason Tatum wears number 0. But he will wear number 10 in the Olympic Games. Also, USA basketball. Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. There was a video that was posted probably last night that showed Ant-Man limping away from Team USA facilities out in Vegas. He was limping badly. as he plays or team select. The team select is usually the team that goes up against the Team USA and kind of gets them prepared. And I think they even show a couple games on like ESPN or whatever of Team USA going against Team Select, which is basically like the younger guys that they're training to move throughout the ranks so that they can become a part of Team USA. But Ant-Man was visibly limping. It looked like he needed assistance walking away from the facility. And word has come down now that it's not very serious, but it is a sprained ankle. And so I just wanted to put that out there. We wish Ant-Man Anthony Edwards a speedy recovery and get that rest. But I will say, we talked about this a couple of conversations before, that the timeliness of all of this is not conducive to these athletes and their bodies. You're going directly from a season straight into the Olympics, right back into a season. And that leads to a lot of wear and tear on your body. And what we're seeing now is a lot of these guys are breaking down a lot sooner. Not to say that Ant-Man is breaking down. I'm pretty sure he might have just rolled his ankle, he landed wrong, whatever. But I'm just saying, in general, in terms of what we're seeing with all the injuries this season, in terms of playoffs, how it's affected the NBA season and possibly the championship, I think that at some point in time, NBA needs to get with Team USA and all of these guys and decide what's most important, because this is not it's not an infinite product. It's not like you just keep funneling bodies out there. Okay, that one got hurt, bring in the next one. You can't just keep rolling them in. It's affecting your total product and it's going to affect your outcome. I'm sorry, I just kind of went off to the left. I was supposed to be doing updates, but it's going to affect the overall product, and eventually it has to be addressed. Someone's going to have to talk about how much wear and tear you were putting on athletes' bodies, thinking that they're machines, and they are not.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, speaking of, since I started off talking about the NBA, I'll kind of, you know, take a break from the Olympic talk to just jump real quickly into the NBA Finals and what I expect to see. Game one is in the books. As you already know, the Phoenix Suns are up 1-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out there and looking pretty damn decent. He looks a lot better than I thought he would look. But once again, I will tell you that this NBA final is going to be that of a chess match. And we've seen it. We've seen the first move take place. I don't know what Coach Bud is doing for Milwaukee, but he's going to have to do something in terms of deciding who's going to beat him. You can't let Book get off. You can't let Chris Paul have a hell of a game. You can't let DeAndre Ayton get out here and show out. You can't. You're going to have to shut down something. And if Coach Bud doesn't adjust and shut down something, it might be Suns in five. I won't do the whole meme like Buddy when he was getting beat up. After he beat up the other dude in the stands, turn around and say Suns in four. I'm not going to say Suns in four. Milwaukee's better than that. But I will say, if Coach Bud doesn't get out here and make some damn adjustments, they will be put out much sooner than they expect. That's one. So, now, personally, if it were me, so I know you're asking, well, what should they do? Who should they stop? What poison should they pick? If it were me, I wouldn't make somebody other than Chris Paul beat me. I wouldn't let Chris Paul be able to feel comfortable, direct the traffic, and have a direct influence on what's going on the floor. So, whatever I have to do to get the ball away from Chris Paul's hands, he's bringing up the court, he's controlling the game. On these pick and rolls that they're running to where Milwaukee is switching, I might run two guys at him to get him to pass the ball. to Aiden and have a guy roll up under in the paint to guard him. I may have something like that take place because I have to get the ball away from Chris Paul's hands. I can't have him out here getting double doubles and triple doubles and pointing, like I said, being the head coach on the floor. I've got to frustrate him. I've got to get him out of a comfortable mentality. Because I believe as he goes, the team goes. If he's out there uncomfortable on the floor, then maybe Book isn't as comfortable as he should be. Maybe DeAndre Ayton isn't as comfortable as he should be, because now they may have to create more on their own. But we'll see if Coach Bud does that. We'll see if he goes out and makes some adjustments. Also for the Milwaukee Bucks, you have to stop relying on Giannis. The one thing that I, when as a Hawks fan, as an Atlanta Hawks fan, the one thing that I could not hang my head about was the fact that, yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo was out, but Bobby Portis was playing out of his mind. Chris Middleton was playing out of his mind. Drew Holiday was playing out of his mind. And I would have assumed that they would have learned that that's the way to play. That's the way to play, whether Giannis is there or where Giannis is not. And I thought that they would carry that over into game one. But they did not. And when Giannis being there, I guess they got back into the habit of throwing it down to Giannis, letting Giannis handle the ball, let Giannis do his thing, and we're just going to take a back seat and we're going to watch. No, you cannot do that. Yes, you're Giannis' team. Yes, he's the star in the face of the franchise. But what you have to do is you have to go out Drew Holiday and play like you did against the Hawks. You have to go out Chris Middleton and play like you played against the Hawks those final two games. You have to go out and play, because that is what you have to be to win a championship. And if you're going to go out there and you're going to not, I'm not saying you're half-assing, but if you're going to go out there and you're going to be inconsistent, or you're going to try to wait and see what the game is going to let you have instead of imposing your will, you're going to lose. So with that being said, I don't know if Milwaukee is going to be assertive enough to want to take this victory. While I believe, and I'm watching, I think Chris Paul wants this more than anything for him, for Monty Williams, for Booker, for the guys on that team, for his legacy. I think he wants this more than anything. He's going to do whatever it takes to win this championship. And I don't know if Milwaukee has that same urgency. So with that, like I said, I'm going to go out on a limb. Well, not out on a limb at all. I'm going to go, and I will say, I'm going to predict this series to be Phoenix Suns as the NBA championship. Phoenix as the NBA champion in six.
Commissioner Gordon.
So as we're all out and about and we're all enjoying this beautiful summer weather. Yeah, I know some days it rains. Some days it rains a lot. But as we're all enjoying this beautiful summer weather, I encourage you to go out and step out ahead of the rest. Don't look like anybody else. Be yourself. Make your clothing your statement with my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. All you got to do is go to the site. Go to the Instagram at 323_custom_apparel. They've got a variety of collections that you can go through and you can see. You say, I like that, and I want to order these shirts. Or you could have an idea in your own mind of what you want to look like, what you want to wear. And you could send those ideas over to my good people at 323 Custom Apparel, and they'll hook you up. They'll make your vision become a reality. All you have to do is get in touch with them and then go out, step out, and represent as you hit these cookouts, as you hit these parties, as you hit, you know, hit the scene. And be yourself. Be your freshest, flyest self with my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, once again, I talked about, back to the Olympics. And I talked about the Soul Cap earlier and how it came out that there's this cap that's made in the UK, and it's designed for people basically with black hair, you know, with dark, I mean, with curly, thick hair, natural black hair. And basically, the International Swimming Federation, or the FINA, had said that they would not allow people of color to wear this soul cap. That sparked the outrage, of which we talked about earlier, of where people were talking about boycotting because the Olympics is not for us. And that trickled down to the FINA basically saying that it's going to review its decisions to not allow the use of the swim caps designed for natural black hair. The Soul Cap, like I said, is a UK-based brand, and it's designed for, you know, thick, curly, voluminous hair. So they were initially told that these caps didn't follow the natural form of the head. If you look at swimmers, and you know, most times, 9 out of 10, European swimmers, Australian swimmers, most swimmers, male or female, they usually have very short haircuts. You know, the aerodynamics, the physics of it, I'm sure are a part. But maybe a part of it has been because of these swim caps and trying to get your hair into these swim caps. So to, you know, to stay comfortable, you would probably cut your hair shorter. But in today's world, you can't tell people how to wear their hair because you never know. There's religious reasons and there's just, you know, personal preferences. I just don't want to wear a short haircut. I like having dreads, or I like having long hair. I like having a full head of hair. And now there's a cap for that. And you're saying because it doesn't follow the natural form of the head that I can't wear it. So it doesn't meet your standards. So I am going to be punished. Well, Friday, the FINA talked about the outrage and said that they understand that the importance of inclusivity and representation in the sport of swimming, and that they will take a good look at the Soul Cap and other products that are like it. The owners of Soul Cap and the Black Swimming Association also pointed out that there's a lack of diversity in the sport. They also pointed out that with the way the FINA was responding, there's a lack of urgency for change for that diversity. So basically, the FINA's dismissal could possibly discourage a lot of young black athletes from getting into the sport of swimming. The numbers are low and continue to remain low, and they think that the numbers will stay low if there's no representation. We talked about representation a couple episodes ago when we were talking about being gay in the NFL and how it was important for other people to be, for other people to see, for young athletes to see other athletes being themselves openly. Same here. It's very important for young black athletes to see and watch the Olympics and see other black athletes being successful in swimming, because that'll encourage you, that'll incite you, that'll say, hey, I want to try that. I like swimming. I like being in the water. I want to try it. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get more gold medalists. Maybe, just maybe, we can find another Michael Phelps who looks like us, who looks like, you know, one of these track athletes, as opposed to being a white athlete. But the FINA is now supposedly considering looking at and working with the people of Soul Cap and similar products. So it's not just, and this is what I talked about a little earlier, it's not just the Americans that had the outrage. This is a UK-based brand. So you have the Americans outraged, you have Britain outraged, you have Middle Eastern countries outraged because of how they wear their hair, how we wear our hair, and you get results. Oftentimes that goes back to boycotting. Boycotting may not be the answer. Just speaking up for yourself a lot of times and drawing focus and directing focus over to an issue a lot of times can get shit done.
Commissioner Gordon.
Last but not least, the world is, or the country is still in a little bit of disbelief that Sha'Carri Richardson is left off the Olympic roster. The Olympic track and field roster was released on Tuesday, and Sha'Carri was not available to, well, was not on it. She's available, but she's not on it. If you don't know the backstory, Sha'Carri tested positive for marijuana around June 19th, and she was given a 30-day suspension. In that 30-day suspension, it was understood that she would not be able to qualify for the initial 100-meter race. But it was hopeful amongst fans that she would still get her opportunity to get out there and participate in terms of the relays. The relays don't start until August 5th, which is after the 30-day suspension. Well, the USATF noted that it was incredibly sympathetic towards Sha'Carri Richardson's extenuating circumstances, and it fully agrees that the international rules about marijuana should be reevaluated, but at this time they have opted to reward the 7th and 8th place seeds of the 100 meter relay to the relay team instead of giving that one of those slots to Sha'Carri Richardson. And I will say that Sha'Carri has taken full account for what she's done. She's made a note of, and she's talked about on like Good Morning America and stuff like that, that she basically used marijuana once she found out from a stranger, because that doesn't get, that part of the story doesn't get heard enough, that she found out from reporters, or I believe, that her biological mother had passed away. So she was in Oregon running track, running races at that time, and when she found out about it, her way of grieving was to smoke marijuana to try to hide the pain, to try to mask that pain. And keeping it in mind, marijuana is legal in the state of Oregon. So she didn't break any laws. But she did break the rules, and she failed the test, and she hasn't shied away from that at all. And she like I said, I personally am proud of her at 21 for taking ownership. She could be kicking and screaming and pointing fingers and saying how fucked up the rules are, how she believes she's being targeted, but she's not doing any of that. So she's still young, and hopefully, you know, she remains healthy. And being young and being healthy, there should be many more Olympics to come for us to marvel at her glory, at her speed. And so there should already be, you know, she should have her sights set on the next Olympics and killing it and winning all the medals that she can win, so she can show her dominance and why she should have been here to set the stage in Tokyo, Japan. But I hope she's also found a sense of pride knowing that her people in the United States are behind her 100%, because I have seen many people speak out on her behalf. I've seen many people put up posts and say that she should be in the Olympics regardless, and that the marijuana rules are archaic and all of the above, because yes, marijuana is, the rules are changing in the NFL, the rules are changing in the NBA, the rules are changing in athletics in terms of being allowed to use marijuana as a pain reliever, And so it should be allowed in the Olympic, you know, in the Olympics. But the rules are the rules. Once again, she didn't shy away from the rules. She didn't point a finger at the rules. She understood. She stood tall. And hopefully, she'll dominate next Olympics.
Commissioner Gordon.
That is our time, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I encourage you to join me in Sports Talk on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. I encourage you to join me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. That's again on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Check me out, engage. We'll go back and forth. We can talk about a lot of the things that we see out here. And you can tell me what you want to have a conversation about. And we'll do that. So I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for listening. I encourage you to spread the word. Tell a friend, listen to it with a friend, and share the Commissioner's Conversation. I thank my producer, my engineer, and my DJ, DJ Reese Boogie. I commend you, sir. I appreciate it. I would also like to thank everyone on Marley's behalf who texted me, who sent me messages saying that they enjoyed hearing the junior commissioner in the intro, and we'll probably get back to that also again. Marley is not available. She's currently doing something right now to where she couldn't do the intro this week, but we will get back to it. And I also encourage you to check her out on her Instagram at Have You Tried This. That's have the letter U tried this. There's a lot of stuff going on with her. She's a part of some things with golf, and she's learning the game of golf, and she's doing some big stuff there. So there should be a video posted about her doing that, as well as her trying the foods that we always try for Have You Tried This. So go out to at Have You Tried This. Check her out at This Is DJ Reese Boogie. Check out Reese and at the.commissioner.gordon. Check me out. Also on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Let's talk about it. Let's chop it up. Let's have a conversation with the commissioner on the Commissioner's Conversation. Until next week, I'll holler.